Hello and welcome to this week's episode of A Little Wiser. I'm here with my friend, creative partner, producer, fellow needle pointer, Erica Gerard. Erica's convinced me to try needle pointing. More on that later.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Erica, we are going to talk about last week's episode with my sister-in-law, Lee Henry. I am very excited to talk about the conversation for a bunch of different reasons. And for anybody who hasn't listened, should absolutely go back and listen. She's really an amazing person. And the impetus for doing the episode was really about our listeners. We hear, you know, on DMs and emails, and that people are going through their own hard things, whatever that looks like. Especially, we started this show in 2019. So the pandemic, people have lost people they love. They've had their own diagnoses. Their kids have had medical, mental health, the chronic pain, a million things that our listeners have gone through, and they've turned to the show, right? And I was witnessing that in my own family and a series of things that Lee went through, an accident with her newborn, which was really traumatic in the hospital, and then the death of her father and a diagnosis for her third son after her father's death. We really just dove into that and all three of those things and what it looks like to go through a series just to get hit and be down and back up again and what that looks like. So that high level is the episode for anyone who has not listened yet. But Erica, you go first because I am obviously really close to this story and episode. What was your experience listening to Lee and, yeah, just learning more about her story?
I just feel so honored that Lee was brave enough to put herself out there and put her story out there, because it's hard and life is hard and there's no one who gets out of it without going through, not only going through a crisis, but in Lee's situation, it was kind of the perfect storm of crises. And this episode was a little different than others that we've done because it was such a close person to you. So I wanted to keep it as raw and bare bones and conversational as possible, which I think really worked because we got to experience the love, which is clearly very strong between the two of you. It was just so beautiful to hear Lee express her pain and sadness, but also hear you just right alongside her, or just with her through it, and the empathy that you clearly have for what she's gone through. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know? It was such a good example of how to show up for a loved one who is really going through it. I don't know, but I can imagine that must have been very healing for Lee to be able to walk through that fire again, but with you holding her hand and by her side.
That is also...
Did you feel that?
Yes, but you just said that so kind and thoughtfully. So thank you for saying that. It's for her to go back in time to this accident with her newborn, which she held herself responsible for and had such deep shame that she couldn't even tell her brother, right? Who's my husband, and the courage it takes between now and then to have the trust to have the conversation, knowing that tens of thousands of people will hear it. And beyond that, her knowing in why she was doing it, right? That she knows how many women are in the thick of whether it's their postpartum mental health or the grief from losing someone they love or an accident that they hold themselves responsible for with, you know, a child, or that she really got that her sharing it is of service to other people and that she found her courage there and then showed up so bravely to do it, which is what this show is about. And it, again, we can, you know, we certainly, as we like to say, have combed the world for incredible stories, but we often forget that the people in our life, so many of these stories and experiences are in our backyard or in our homes or in our schools, and that when we show up to fully listen to somebody's, I just think Lee and I doing the episode and having a real, truthful, loving and honest and supportive conversation makes us closer as family, as sister-in-laws. And that is a real gift. And hopefully our listeners, how cool that they got to experience that, because I feel closer to Lee as a result of having been a part of her sharing her story.
Yes. It's such a underappreciated thing in our world, in our society, is the power of really opening up to someone close in your life and sharing your pain, sharing your shame, and then basking in the hopefully the acceptance on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
It's transformative. Like you said, I mean, you feel closer to her. You know, I have friends in my life who, you know, even if you have a rift that you need to repair and you speak your truth about that rift and you're able to repair, I mean, you feel closer on the other side. But I think we're all so scared to share, which is also why I'm so grateful to Lee. Lee, if you're listening to this right now, just know I've been listening to almost 100 episodes of these, and this was right there with the cream of the crop in terms of beautiful vulnerability that has the capacity to transform the listener. And thank you. Thank you so much for your courage and your honesty. It's humbling. So thank you.
Yeah. And she really, I mean, there was a couple of things that, one is just postpartum hell, especially in this country. Hell, that's perfect instead of hell.
Oh, I thought you said hell. But,
well, yes, that's well put. I mean, I think she said it in the episode, but I think part of her impetus was, as a country, we need to rethink, reshape, and do better for women after they have babies. And if you look around the world and all different parts of the world, how communities and medical providers and systems and countries and show up for women,
yes,
after they give birth to human beings, whether you're in different parts of Africa or Europe versus America, it's like you just, you know, didn't sleep and labored and pushed a watermelon out of your vagina and or had major abdominal surgery. And like in approximately 48 hours, you need to be out of the hospital, back home, caring for other children, getting ready for an Instagram photo shoot where everyone is smiling and happy. And you also need to be back at work in probably 4 to 6 weeks, if not less. And the whole shaming in the hospital, I couldn't breastfeed because of medication. And there was like 17 lactation specialists coming in and saying, you know, it's really important for, we keep the baby in the room and learning how to breastfeed. And I'm like, I would like to show up as a whole person for my child. And my psychiatrist was very clear that I need to sleep through the night or I'm going to be at really high risk for serious postpartum depression. So I am, and then you just feel like an awful person, right? And
yeah,
Lee talked about that. Like she had held herself so at blame and accountable. And when she was able to kind of zoom out and say, I needed sleep, I was exhausted. Like, as somebody who, she's really smart and intelligent, and she's a psychologist. So I think with time, she's been able to zoom out. And a big part of, again, her impetus in sharing is service. So it really brought that up for me. It's been a long time since I've been in a hospital having a baby, but we really have a long way to go there.
Oh yeah, that was fascinating to me. I'm not a mother, but I will say that even if I like slightly wanted to be a mother, the whole everything you just said is so terrifying to me. The I'm like, oh, hell no. There's no way that I could do it because of the lack of support that would be
Yeah.
the lack of support available on the other side. There's absolutely no way. And the expectation that you just described on for what mothers are supposed to, I mean, it sounds like just like a terrible race that everyone's trying to win. And it's sad.
Yes, I think, and I don't really know the timeline of these things, but in certainly in different parts of the world, women come home and there's a period of rest and people bringing them soup and different things to heal their body and collectively caring for the baby, which seems so natural, right? That would be the best entry into the world for a precious little baby and for the mother to heal and then get into a place where she has her strength and her energy and her health. But it's for what I don't know how we got here, but I think it's the opposite. And then it's just like shame from day one. Are you breastfeeding? Can you breastfeed? Are you sleeping through the night? Are you getting up with your baby? I mean, it goes on and on. And so anyways, I was grateful that we were able to, dive into that a little bit for sure. The other issue was the accident in Lee's case. And you were really curious about that, thinking about our listeners. Do you ever, has there been any accident in your life where you've held yourself responsible and had guilt and shame? I was trying to think if there's examples in mind. Do you have any?
Nothing to that degree, no. But I've had minor accidents. I've had things that I can be forgetful, and sometimes that can cause accidents, but more along the lines of property damage, not personal damage.
Well, people, I imagine, have all sorts of things. They left the gate open and the dog got out and got hit by a car, and they'll never forgive themselves for leaving the gate open. Like things there, my guess is there's so many people who did something very human and have never forgiven. Do you know what I mean?
Fostering a dog and it getting away, or are you watching that show Expats right now with Nicole Kidman?
No.
Oh,
No,
wow.
I'm watching Capote and the Swans
Okay,
with
well,
Naomi Watts. I think she's friends with Nicole
yeah, they
Kidman.
are. They're both Australian.
Yeah.
I won't, it's the premise of the show is that Nicole Kidman's trying out a new nanny, and it's this young girl. She's the star of the show, and they went to the night market in Hong Kong as a family, and the new nanny lost the kid, like wasn't holding his hand, and then the kid just disappeared and he's gone. Yeah, and so if you're interested in this subject matter, it's fascinating. I mean, accidents like that, it's how does anyone move forward? I would say to me, Lee is an example of someone who had a terrible accident and still managed to move forward and forge a meaningful and productive life where many others would not have been able to.
And it's just too the, even if the outcome, which it, is again, he's healthy, he's thriving, but I think people forget that the trauma of something right when it happens is so ingrained in you. We've done all these PTSD stories, right? Where everyone's like, oh, you escaped from the building, you got out, you survived, now you're back. And they're like, the real trauma begins after the body goes. And so I don't know. I think it's no matter where we want to place it on the spectrum of it's just, yeah, whether it's like leaving the gate open. I had a very small thing where my middle daughter, Belle, I can't remember what I was doing, whether it was something like productive, like cooking, or I don't know, something not like sending emails, but she fell on the stairs and got a big cut on her eye. And I, you know, I had three kids and did all the things and got the ointment and everything. And there was a point where I said, oh, gosh, do we need stitches? Do we not? And I was kind of watching. And for whatever reason, I didn't get stitches. And I think I can now barely see it. But like for the next 4 or 5 years, she had a scar. And every time certain like sunlight, I would see it. And I would just bizarrely fixate on my failure. I don't know how to explain it other than and it was a little scar that no one even really talked about. But I would look at it almost as if it's like this little reminder, right?
Yeah.
Of like, how could you not? I need to look at her eye and see if I can still see the scar. But I don't, it's fascinating how, I don't know, how we can just
blame.
Hold on to
yeah.
mistakes or accidents or just hold on to those for so long and the negative impact that has on our well-being. You know, I can relate to it in small ways.
Absolutely. Mistakes and accidents. I think those are some of the, like, we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about the psychological impact of mistakes and accidents. You know, my husband, Oni, he did something similar to you. I don't think you would mind me talking about it, but I have a stepdaughter. And when she was young, he was cooking dinner and boiling some noodles or something. And he somehow he bumped into the boiling water and it fell onto her arm and spilled and caused severe third degree burns. And he had to rush her to the hospital. And, you know, to this day, he still feels terrible
upset about it.
Yeah. And she has the scar on her arm. And but now, I don't know, we kind of joke about it a little, like it's because we all know that it was an accident and it's ridiculous to hold on to that. How do you let go of that, of the guilt from a mistake or an accident? How, I think she did the absolute right thing with getting to therapy. I don't know how you would be able to process something like that on your own.
Or think about people who've been in car accidents and have physically hurt another person. Like there, I think there's probably a million examples of people who've had something that was a mistake or an accident that wasn't like ill intent, right? Yeah. Or negligence. Mm-hmm. And that was just a very human. It's just about this idea of forgiveness, forgiving ourselves.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously less about accidents and more about forgiving ourselves.
Right. And when you asked her if she has been able to forgive herself, and I remember her saying that she has good days and bad days, like all of us. And on her good days, she can get there. And on her bad days, she feels like she's ruined everything. Do you think that we can ever truly forgive ourselves?
I mean, I hope so, but I think it's hard. I think it can get better. I don't know. it can be so absolute, but I do believe it. I believe some of our guests have been through really extreme things that weren't. Yeah, I'm just thinking so many of our guests who have been involved in things that were deeply traumatic to other people that weren't necessarily accidents. And certainly if you unpack them, you can maybe think about it in that way, but that have learned to forgive themselves. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a big question.
Yeah. You know, Lee said sometimes accidents are just that and no one is to blame. And I do believe that we can transform that deep shame into something useful, into something more useful and positive. That I do believe.
I totally believe that. And you can, like she's done, make some meaning, right? She clearly has, as she said, been able to zoom out and say, this experience happened to me. It was really hard. And now she's making meaning of it in the sense that I'm going to talk about it so people who have been through something similar don't feel like they're alone. I also am looking at the bigger systems in place that played a part in it. And by talking about it and supporting, you know, in this case, and that's really empowering. I mean, I think that leads to forgiveness in a sense, or at least taking back your probably what feels like an out of control emotions, taking back control in a really empowering way. I would hope.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Taking back control is a perfect way to explain it.
See, I loved it. And just that, you know, as we're ending the show, it's just been the personal gifts to me, meeting, gosh, the 100+ people that have been brought into my life, but also having a conversation with my dad, having a conversation with Lee, you and I and the conversations we've had, it's just, I'm really grateful for this show. For, I don't know that Lee and I would have ever had that conversation in IRL, in real life, outside. I don't think we would have. I think this show.
Isn't that such a shame too? Because.
Yes. Ugh. So I just hope that people listening, if there is anyone in your family that has been through a hard thing, no matter how small or big that feels to you, just asking to hear their story and listening, it's just can be really connect you in a really meaningful, positive, healthy way. I mean, I hope that people listening who have, I don't know, watched people go through something and maybe been like, I haven't said anything, or we've never really talked about it, that finding the courage to have the conversation and just listen to their experience can be a real gift on both ends.
That's really well said, Kimmy. And if it feels really awkward and vulnerable bringing it up in person, one thing that I've done when I want to have, you know, deep or more serious conversations is I do it in the car. I'll ask that person to go for a drive, because then you don't have to look at each other. You don't have to make eye contact, which I think brings everyone's defensiveness down and feels a little less scary.
Yeah. So this is like a hack with teenage boys in particular. They're like, if you want to talk anywhere, it's like open road in the car, not looking at each other.
Yeah, totally.
And it totally works. I've been on like the PCH where like listening to rap and I turn it down and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, what is happening? It's the same thing with walking, I think.
Yeah.
Sitting down and having like a deep conversation, especially if you're not used to that, is super awkward. But there is something about either walking or
movement,
driving.
Yeah, something. It's weird.
It sets the stage for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hikes are always a great way to talk with friends, I think, or family, going on a hike, being in nature. But I guess the real, you know, challenge here is just to initiate the conversation, and hopefully you can be brave and bring something up that you know will not get brought up otherwise, and see the fruits that come on the other side.
Yeah, which are amazing. And it really is an extraordinary gift on both ends. And so getting the courage to do that in whatever way feels right. And you're like calling your sister-in-law. You're like, let's go to lunch. And the restaurant is 42 minutes away in the car.
Yes. Well, maybe you should wait until, you know, the walk back so that you can then go.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people don't like to walk.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so true. Well, I'm so grateful to Lee. I love her so much. So when I first started dating Graham, who I've been with since I was 19, mm-hmm. Lee is 5 years younger, so she was 14. She did not like me. She will admit this.
Why?
Because his ex-girlfriend was one of those girlfriends who, like, is totally working all family members. So she would like make Lee mix tapes and come over and bake cookies. Oh. And then her brother goes to college and I'm like this random chick from California. And she was not into me. And then over the years, obviously now, she's just awesome for so many reasons. But anyways, I love you, Lee, and I'm so grateful. And Erica, I'm grateful to you. Your just sensibility and storytelling and content in this podcast to have restraint and say this episode is different. Let's let it be different and intimate and reflective of the closeness of this conversation. A lot of like thoughts goes into that and that restraining from let's add narration and music and all of these things. So thank you for that.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you for introducing us to like a little bit of the behind the scenes of your family. That's not easy either. So
yeah. Well, they're a great, great family. 5 out of 7 days of the week.
I know. I want to do like a marriage episode. I need to understand what a marriage looks like when you've been married since before you could drink
alcohol.
Since
you were like 5 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were definitely drinking alcohol when we met at 19.
Legally drank alcohol.
Legally. Yes, okay.
That's what I meant. Legally.
I'm like, there was no shortage. All right. Well, thank you, Lee. I love you. And I know your story is going to find the people who most need to hear it. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode. And then we have 2 more full-length episodes. And then we're wrapping in April. We're hoping to really make this time count with you. If you've lost the habit of showing up every Wednesday, now is the time for the next 6 weeks so you can be here with us on this home stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. Come join us on the home stretch. We have lots in store to share and talk about with you guys. So much love to you, and I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here next Wednesday.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. All right.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.